Good morning, and it's good to connect with you today on this Sunday morning. Today we start a new sermon series out of the book of Deuteronomy, and this sermon series will be exploring the idea of faithfulness. And we hear that word, faithfulness, as followers of Christ. We hear that in a call for us to be faithful to God, to be faithful to Christ. But we also hear it when referring to the relationship that God has with us, that God is faithful with us. And that idea of faithfulness can be a challenge for us. There can be challenges that we encounter in our lives and our circumstances that can get in the way of that way of being faithful, of being grounded in our faith. So for the month of August, we'll be exploring this idea, the idea of faithfulness, and how also we can be faithful in our following and understanding of God as we grow as a people of Christ. Today, we'll be reading out of the first part of the book of Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy is a book I have preached out of before, but I've never done a series exclusively out of Deuteronomy in quite this way. So this is a new thing for me. And if this is a new thing for you, exploring the book of Deuteronomy, then let's journey together. Let's try this out and hear what God has in store for us. Now, to set the scene a little bit for this particular reading, it's a moment when Moses is with the people of Israel in the wilderness. This is following the Exodus. The people of Israel who had been in slavery in Egypt, they had fled Egypt, you know, by going through the Red Sea. They've been wandering in the wilderness. And this is primarily Moses speaking with the people. This reading here out of the first chapter of Deuteronomy, it's Moses recalling and sharing why they are still in the wilderness. So they have not, you know, people of Israel, they have not made it to the promised land just yet. So Moses is recalling why they're still in the wilderness. And I believe in this reading here, there's a recollection or recalling of faithfulness that is important for us. Even though the words may seem a little strange, the idea may seem a little strange for us here in 2020, there's still a message here, a message I believe that's even filled with grace and is important for us to hear. So I invite you to hear these words. We'll be in Deuteronomy chapter 1, starting at verse 19 and going through verse 36. "Then just as the Lord our God had ordered us, we set out from Horeb and went through all the great and terrible wilderness that you saw, on the way to the hill country of the Amorites, until we reached Kadesh Barnea. I said to you, 'You have reached the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. See, the Lord your God has given the land to you. Go up, take possession as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. Do not fear or be dismayed.' All of you came to me and said, 'Let us send men ahead of us to explore the land for us and bring back a report to us regarding the route by which we should go up and the cities which we will come to.' The plan seemed good to me, and I selected 12 of you, one from each tribe. They set out and went up into the hill country. And when they reached the valley of Eshcol, they spied it out and gathered some of the land's produce, which they brought down to us. They brought back a report to us and said, 'It is a good land that the Lord our God is giving us.' But you were unwilling to go up. You rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You grumbled in your tents and said, 'It is because the Lord hates us that he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to hand us over to the Amorites to destroy us. Where are we headed? Our kindred have made our hearts melt by reporting, "The people are stronger and taller than we. The cities are large and fortified up to heaven. We actually saw there the offspring of the Anakim." I said to you, "Have no dread or fear of them. The Lord your God who goes before you is the one who will fight for you just as he did. For you in Egypt before your very eyes and in the wilderness, where you saw how the Lord your God carried you, just as one carries a child, all the way that you traveled until you reached this place. But in spite of this, you have no trust in the Lord your God. who goes before you on the way to seek out a place for you to camp, in fire by night, and in the cloud by day, to show you the route you should take." When the Lord heard these words, he was wrathful and swore, "Not one of these, not one of the evil generations shall see the good land that I swore to give to your ancestors, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him and to his descendants I will give the land on which he set foot, because of his complete fidelity to the Lord." The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, when I think back into my own story and I think about moments that I have struggled to trust, struggled to connect, struggled to move forward, even. In a lot of ways, I can relate some of those experiences, those challenges in following God, very similarly to where the people of Israel were, where they were in this story. God had promised them a place, promised them a land that would be theirs, a place that they could go, a place where they could live, no longer being enslaved, no longer being under subject to a power that did not care for them. God was going to provide, going to care for them, and did. We see that later on in the book of Joshua and on into the rest of the Old Testament. That God's promise of a promised land was real, and God was with them. But yet the people struggled. They struggled in trusting. They struggled in connecting with that promise. I know when I have struggled in my trust of God, struggled in my faith, I tend to kind of put these feelers out. Some ways, like the people in this story did. They gathered up a few people to send them ahead just to check out, just to see what they were getting into. And to Moses, this seemed reasonable, putting together a group of people to go ahead and see what was there. And a lot of the times I would say that I have put those feelers of trust out into the world when I'm trying to follow God. You could say that those actions were reasonable. But yet, those actions weren't really all that reasonable. In the end, I was doubting God. I was doubting perhaps the calling that God had for me in that moment, the hope that God had for me. And I believe in those moments in our lives when we struggle with that connection, that trust, that faithfulness of God. All the actions, precautions that we take can seem reasonable. But yet, our God still calls us forward to trust, to have that connection, to have that faithfulness. And we also know from our life experiences, there are moments in which having that trust towards God or trust towards other people, it's hard to step forward in that because we know how it feels when we get burned. And that can be a challenge to our faith. Now, I think it's interesting here, and I find this in other parts of the Exodus story, in the book of Exodus and here in Deuteronomy. The people remembered how bad things were before. Like, they knew they were in slavery in Egypt. They knew they were in a bad place. But as they were going to the promised land, all of a sudden, the things that seemed, so bad in the past were seeming pretty good when they were wandering around in the desert. Being back in Egypt seemed like a good idea. And how many times as we have stepped forward in our lives, as we have moved forward, perhaps, with a new job and a new school, or perhaps we're stepping forward, a new phase in our life, and that, or perhaps we're moving out of a bad situation. Like, we know how bad things were before. But yet, when we're on that journey moving forward, knowing that we're going to a better place in life, we still find ourselves recalling back going, you know, maybe things were better back then. And that can be a challenge to our faith. And I believe it's not because it's just nostalgia is bad or anything like that, or that our past is somehow, it's always rose-colored. But rather, I believe that's a known quantity. What we did in the past, our past actions, past experiences, those are a known quantity, even if it's not great, even if it is something, a situation that was a situation we did not want to be a part of, it was a known quantity. And even if we're stepping forward into a better situation, a better part of our life, a better phase in life, even if we fully know that is a better place to be, can still have that unknown, that uncertainty. We might have questions. But yet I believe our God still calls us forward, even when we struggle. Even when we have doubts. Now, in this story here, you can kind of see, God reacted, pretty frustrated with the people. And in fact, it shared that only one person of that generation that doubted would make it into the promised land, lifting up that person's, faithfulness. And for our modern ears, if we're thinking about a God who calls us forward into faith, you may really as we're listening to this with our modern ears, we may kind of be concerned about what kind of faithfulness is God calling us forward. But if you think about the whole story, and I see that the story of the Exodus and the wandering in the wilderness and going into the promised land, that whole story is greater than any one person. It's a story of a whole people. But I also think it's a reminder that even though we have maybe in the past made decisions that weren't that great, we made choices that we're not proud of, and we may still live with those consequences of those past actions, past decisions. I do think, though, when I consider the whole story here and consider the whole breadth of God, the whole experience of God, especially we find later in the Gospels and the New Testament, those past actions, past things, the things that happened before this moment, even though we may have the consequences of those decisions and actions that we still live with, I don't believe those things fully define our story. They don't fully define our experience, and it doesn't reduce the amount of hope or love that God wants to share with us, the love that God is extending to us to carry us forward. I think about the story of Jeremiah, and this is a little later on in the Old Testament. The story of the exile, and the people of Israel have been taken from their home. They were taken from their home, which would be the promised land. They were taken from there into exile, into Babylon. And Jeremiah, shares in all this for the people to take their lives up, to begin living again. And it's that Jeremiah 29:11, where God shares, "The plans I have for you are for your welfare, not for your harm." And I believe that sentiment is what carries us forward. And it's a part of that faithfulness. God calls us forward and calls us to be faithful, not because God is trying to be punitive towards us, but rather because God has a future in store. God wants us to experience hope and life. And the struggles that we experience in our life are not reflection of God trying to punish us, but rather just a reality of life, the reality of our situation. But we're called forward in hope. We're called forward to everlasting life, an eternal life. And I believe that is a hope that's worth living for. It's a hope that I believe that we can live into now, not just later. So brothers and sisters, as we struggle with staying connected, as we struggle in our trust, struggle in our faithfulness, that even though we may falter at times, we may struggle in our faithfulness, God is still calling us forward. God still speaks to us and loves us and has a future in mind for us that I believe we are called to live into, a future with hope and even with joy and with grace. So let us live towards that future. Let us stay grounded in that faithfulness as we go through our lives, not only for this time, but for all of our days. Amen.